Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, we are back at UC Irvine. We're at Rams training camp, and we expect after 3 o'clock this afternoon for Sean McVay to stop by, and we'll see who else comes by. Rams are on the field and working right now. Our coverage today is brought to you by our friends at Hyundai, driven by Southern California Hyundai dealers. Your journey, own it with Hyundai. All right, so we, back in 2016, me and Ireland, had a chance to interview Vin Scully. I want to play that conversation for you right now.
I think I hear. I'll shut up and see if I can hear.
All right, good. Here we go.
All right. Joining us right now after 67 years, Vin Scully is leaving the broadcast booth for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He has been the voice of the Dodgers the entire history here in Los Angeles. And, Vin, thanks very much for coming on. We really, really appreciate this.
Oh, believe me, I'm delighted to say hello to both
of you. Vin, let me start with this. You've covered a lot of magical things, but for Dodger fans, the way that unfolded on Sunday, your final game at Dodger Stadium, had a very magical feel to it, from the walk-off home run to you picking up the microphone and addressing the crowd personally. Let me simply put it this way. What was that day like for you?
A lifetime of emotions. Probably the most emotional time, although the entire weekend was one great emotion, bordering on tears. Friday night, I did tear up. Sunday, while the recording was played and the players were standing looking up to me, when the game began, when the players, at first they were pointing to their own families, and then the fellas in the booth said, "No, dummy, they're pointing to you." And each player would walk up to hit and either tip his cap or raise his hand. It was, I was top of Mount Olympus and maybe 5 feet above that.
You know, over the weekend, and I know you know this, 24-year-old Jose Fernandez was killed in a boating accident. And last night, the Miami Marlins honored him. The most amazing thing happened. Former Dodger D. Gordon hit a home run in the first inning. When you hear those kind of, first of all, give me your reaction to just everything that happened last night.
Well, I don't want to put any importance on myself because that would not be fair. But I do think, and I firmly believe this in my heart and in my soul, that every now and then God gives us a little glimpse of what's going on in this world. And I can say this, Sunday morning, I had never met Jose Fernandez. I wouldn't really know what he looked like because I didn't travel. And when Miami did come here, he didn't pitch. And yet, I was watching on television. We have mass at the ballpark Sunday mornings when the Dodgers are home. And before I went into mass, I was watching the television, and Martin Prado, the third baseman, good player, veteran, been around a long time. And he was really tied up emotionally. And he said something that really stuck with me. And he said the last time Jose pitched, he told Martin, "That's the greatest game I have ever pitched in my life." And that absolutely overwhelmed me to think that that's the way he went. And then I mentioned it once because it's awfully heavy. But a year ago, September 1, 2015, Jose tweeted. Now, maybe he had read this, maybe it made him think, but he tweeted the following: "If you could read a book about your life, would you read the end of it?" So I had all that in my mind, and I broke down and cried during mass. It was just too much for me.
Vin Scully is our guest, ending a legendary career in Los Angeles. His last game at Dodger Stadium was this past Sunday. He'll do 3 more games in San Francisco this coming weekend. Vin, I've had the pleasure of seeing you walk into stadiums before, and I'm I guess I shouldn't be surprised because you've been on the job for so long, but it's almost like a Pied Piper effect. So many people want to come up and say something to you or shake your hand. I'm curious, when those people do find a way somehow to get to you, what do they ask you? What do they say to you more than anything else?
Well, most of all, they just say hi. And, you know, one thing that has been a gift given to me, I love people. I really would like to stop and talk to everybody in the world if I could, but I can't. But when I come to the ballpark, it's not like I'm coming to a baseball park. I'm coming to a place where there are a lot of friends of mine, from the Lady Marie who runs the elevator. And when I get off, there's James Mims standing in front of the press box. And when I walk inside, I know all the writers, and we're all saying hi or whatever, how's this, how's that. Then, of course, all my fellow broadcasters, plus the visiting broadcasters. It's an overwhelming but a heartwarming experience, and I go through it every day. That's what makes it so sweet. Unfortunately, that's probably what I will miss more than anything else. Not being on the air, no, but missing the people and the exchanges. How are you doing? What do you think of last night's game, et cetera? Wow, I loved it.
You know, Vin, I've learned so much from you beyond baseball over the years. This year, you talked about the national anthem and how it came to be. I think on 4th of July. I've remember your stories and talking about D-Day during the course of broadcasts. And I'm wondering, as a storyteller, what do you think of a generation of people who are really communicating using only these little tweets, these little 140-character messages?
First of all, I'm not very smart on social media. I remember I really gave the world a laugh when I was talking about Twitter, and I said Shane Ficarino sent a twit, and everybody broke up because I thought if it was Twitter, it would be twit, not tweet. And so I'm pretty ignorant about that. I do think, however, we've lost something, and the little time on the air that we have, I think of the children particularly. That's why I went into some detail about the flag, the anthem, what it meant. We did that when Baltimore was in town because it was a perfect time to do it. D-Day, of course, one of the most monumental moments in my life, June the 6th. And that, so when that comes up, I really try to, by telling a few stories, maybe it will make an imprint. I'm afraid that as these kids grow up with their computers and they almost stay away from life, they're going to forget these great moments that made this country so great. So in some small way, I try to slip that in along with the play-by-play.
Vin, I don't even know if you can answer this, but I ask this of people that have had a great run like you have. If we were going to put a game in a time capsule and we weren't going to open it for another 100 or 200 years, but it's one game that you did, and you get to pick it. What's going in the time capsule?
Oh, gosh. I really don't know. The best way I could kind of talk it out of me now, and no one has ever asked me that before, the most emotional game that I did was on television, 1955. I was much younger and more sensitive, I guess, in some ways. I had known and been with the Dodgers as a kid since 1950. I was like one of the young players. In fact, I sat in the back of the bus with the players who were called Humpties. They're the ones who weren't playing very often. And I hung out with them, so I really became part of the family. And when the Brooklyn Dodgers won their only World Championship, it wasn't that I did anything great. In fact, on the last out, the only thing I said was, ladies and gentlemen, the Brooklyn Dodgers are the champions of the world. And that, for pure emotion, I could not have said another word without breaking down. Another one that might very well go in the time capsule because of its importance was Henry Aaron's home run. And I let the crowd roar, and all of a sudden my mind started to work a little bit. And that's when I came up with the idea what a great home run it was, not just for Henry, the Braves, and Georgia, and baseball, but for the world, because a black man was being honored in the Deep South for breaking the record of an icon. And maybe that one could fit in there. I really don't know, honestly. I've never been asked that, so I have no pat answer. I'm sorry.
You know, Vin, thank you very much for spending a couple of minutes with it. It really means so much. We'll cherish this.
Oh, I'm honored that you would take the time to call me.
and seriously, on behalf of, you know, a fan, I think I speak for everybody. And may God bless you the way you've blessed us all these years. We really, really appreciate everything you've done for L.A. and the Dodgers.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Apparently I left him speechless.
Yeah. Or I hung
up on him.
Or Greg
hung up on him.
Yeah.
I think that's what really happened. You're the one guy in town who's
it's like
ever
your idol
hung up,
and you hung up on your idol.
It is legitimately the worst thing about my career in my mind.
There is nothing worse.
Hung
up on Vin.
Yes, that is going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That's I got to talk to him for a second to put him on the phone.
Right.
And then I didn't get to talk to him.
And then you take the call at the end.
No, I did not.
Just let it slide away.
And say thank you. I didn't even get to say thank you to him.
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's going to haunt me.
I've got you tattooed on me.
By the way, one thing we talked about yesterday in the show, Mace, you weren't here. I couldn't understand the Joey Gallo trade.
I get it.
Well, simply because of this. Who are you sending down? I mean, Altman.
He's taking Jake Lamb's spot.
No.
Jake Lamb got traded to Seattle.
Bill Plunkett just reported that because they moved around some other people and just
Miguel
called people
Vargas
up.
Vargas came up?
Yeah. Justin Turner is going on the injured list, and Gallo is taking that spot.
People have been clamoring for Miguel Vargas.
He was called up last night.
So, Vargas took Lamb's spot.
And Outman's been really good.
Yeah, nobody can get him out.
Yeah.
So that's the answer. And I have no problem with giving Joey. I mean, I said that yesterday, Mace. Andrew Friedman has a history of kind of taking flyers on guys at the end of their careers that have all turned out. Chase Utley.
Yep.
David Freese.
Yep.
You know, Albert Pujols. All these guys have kind of worked out.
They have.
So Gallo, I don't mind him taking a chance on Gallo. I just don't want to see Outman or Trace go down. And for now, they're not going down. By the way, Trace is out of options. He can't go down.
Oh, he can't go down.
So was Lamb, which is why they traded him.
Interesting.
You know, Lamb was out of options, so they couldn't do any. If they wanted to get something for him, they had to trade him, so they traded him to Seattle. But Lamb is a left-handed bat, so is Gallo.
So is Gallo, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what Gallo can do out of it. By the way, Jorge, and you can just speak up. Did you happen to put that Michael Kay clip that I sent this morning in about Joey Gallo? All right, Mace, have you heard this?
I did. I listened to it this morning.
Okay, so let's play it when we come back because we're up against it. But at least one guy thinks that Joey Gallo deserved all the booze he got in New York.
Right.
And you might be surprised who it is.
Kind of heartless. All right, we'll do that coming up next. Again, we are live at Rams training camp. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Fernando ready in the strike two pitch is hit back to the box, dribbling to second. Samuel on the bag, close to first, double play. Fernando Valenzuela has pitched a no-hitter at 10:17 in the evening of June the 29th, 1990. If you have a sombrero, throw it to the sky.
And there is the legendary Vin Scully with yet another memorable call. It is the day after the passing of, I would argue, the greatest broadcaster of all time.
And we'll be continuing to celebrate Vin throughout the day. Yep. We just played an interview we did with him before. We do want to cover some of the current sports news going on, including the fact that the Dodgers yesterday at the trade deadline traded for Joey Gallo of the Yankees.
Yes.
Gallo used to be an all-star. Matter of fact, he's a two-time all-star.
Yeah, he's like...
Who once hit 40 home runs with the Rangers.
He's a power hitter, left-handed, has had a terrible year
like almost. And if you're wondering just how terrible is it, Michael Kay, who is a Yankees announcer,
yep,
was a little peeved that Gallo did an interview before the trade deadline talking about how he had trouble getting going because, like, if he put his head outside the dugout,
he'd get booed.
The Yankee fans would boo him.
Yep.
And Michael Kay, for one, says he deserved it. Here's Michael Kay.
Be honest here. He has the worst 501 at-bats of any Yankee position player in their history. He hit 159. They did not go out of their way to boo a guy that was actually doing a decent job. He was a failure here in New York for whatever reason, whether the pressure of having to win became a big deal, whether he just got his swing out of whack because he mentally was not right while he was here. He deserved to be booed. I don't think the fans were extra special hard on him. I look at what the fans did to Giancarlo Stanton when he first got here. That was unfair. I mean, the first game that he ever played here, they booed him. This guy earned the boos. Look at these numbers. In the last 29 games, he had 0.85, and I feel sorry for him. I truly do. He's not a bad guy. He didn't treat anybody poorly. But the woe is me attitude, like the fans drove him out of New York. No, no, no. If you hit and you hit the 40 home runs that you were supposed to hit, they would not have booed you. If you didn't hit 159, they would not have booed you.
All right, so Michael Kay thinks he deserves.
Yeah, that's for. I mean, he hasn't hit 40 home runs since 2018. I mean, he's just not. He's not that guy anymore.
Yeah, he's become Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, he's become. Yeah. He's become Bellinger. He's a very good fielder. So that's definitely part of the reason to grab him. And you play him against right-handers. The lineup's actually out today.
Yeah, he's not playing tonight.
He's not there.
Well, he's not starting, I should say.
Right.
Doesn't mean he won't play.
Mookie Betts leads off right field. Trey Turner at shortstop. Freddie Freeman at first. Max Muncy batting cleanup at third base with JT going on the IL. Trace Thompson batting fifth out in center field, so essentially replacing Cody Bellinger. Gavin Lux at second. Miguel Vargas, who just got called up. Dodger fans excited about it. He's going to DH. James Outman, who's been a sensation since he got called up, is in left field. And then Austin Barnes catching with Julio Urias on the mound tonight. So that's a really interesting lineup. A lot of people anxious to see Miguel Vargas play for the Dodgers.
Boy, I still, if I had to pick today, even with the trades the Padres made, even with the way the Mets have been playing, if you made me pick one team to win the whole thing, I'm taking the Dodgers. I think the Yankees are the biggest threat to them. I think the Yankees are really good, and the Yankees have really good pitching. But if it's one team I had to jump all in with, I'm going with the Dodgers.
I am also going with the Dodgers. I mean, we're, you know, I know the trade deadline kind of shades everything, but let's be honest. I mean, they were... What was it, 26-5, 21-5 in the month of July?
21-5.
An incredible run. They're playing unbelievable baseball. They're getting contributions not just from their veterans, but from young guys now, like Outman, and we'll see what Vargas is capable of doing. You know, I think they are the team to beat in my head. The Yankees, by the way, got a lot better. Andrew Benintendi was a great grab for the Yankees. They got Frankie Montas, who was the second-best starter available on the market. Best starter, by the way, Luis Castillo, ended up in Seattle where he already won his first decision. Seattle looks like they're going to play for a into the postseason.
Yeah, they're tired of losing, too.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take some calls. Here's Don in Thousand Oaks. Hey, Don, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hi, can
hey,
you hear me okay?
Yes, Don, you're on the air.
I was lucky enough to run into Vinny three times, but the most memorable was I was at a home improvement store, and I'm walking around, and all of a sudden, there's Vin, and I go up to him. I go, Mr. Scully, I'm a huge fan. How are you doing? And he starts with, well, I'm trying to find this light bulb. And he starts describing the light bulb he's looking for. And it was like, I just sit there, my jaw dropped. And I was like, oh, my God, he's just describing a light bulb. He's magical.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been weird for him to meet him in a normal setting when he wasn't talking about baseball. Thanks, Don, for the phone call. Here's Tim in Hesperia. Hey, Tim, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hi, guys. Love the show as usual. You guys do great work.
Thanks,
I just wanted to say, you know, Vin Scully painted a picture, and Chick Kern did the same thing. We were very lucky to have both of them. they painted a picture to watch a game, and you could visualize it listening to it on the radio. And not a lot of people can do that. And I like listening to Rick Monday. He does that. John, of course, you do that as well. And I just want to say how lucky we are. But the last thing I want to say is, how can Bergman give you guys a hard time about interviews?
Yeah.
That was
point.
The greatest interview with Vin Scully. I think
you hear that, Greg?
Something about Bergman.
Yeah.
Greg,
that's also 6 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying we've lost something off our fastball since 6 years ago?
We agree with you, Tim. Thank you.
Yeah, we agree with you, Tim. A hell of an interview.
Yeah.
And by the way,
Bergman tried to hang up on him. So even secretly back then, Bergman didn't like interviews. He hung up on his idol.
So we have this secret game that when a guest says, that's a good question or that's a question I've never heard before, we always push ourselves away from the table and go like, yep, I nailed it.
Yeah.
I nailed it.
Okay, now
and I got two of those, Greg.
You got two.
The question that one of the questions that you asked, where he said, "I've never heard that question before," was what is his favorite call? Essentially,
yeah.
You're telling me he's never been asked that before.
What would he put in a time capsule? If he, you know, same question.
I guess did you question sense. Whether Vin was actually he was? He said he gave an answer.
He was being Vin and being very cordial.
All right. Yes, Dave from Montebello is online. Hey, Dave, you're on ESPN LA. Hi,
Dave.
Dave, are you there? Going once, going twice, gone. By the way, Kevin Demoff just walked by, and he said to us, I didn't know you guys were here today. Greg, how did he not know we were here today?
Talk to this guy. You were supposed to have a catch with Matthew Stafford.
Oh, yeah, Kev said I was going to have a catch with Matthew Stafford.
Well, we're back Monday. Maybe it could happen Monday. Oh, nice.
Nice.
Did he catch that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the Rams are now playing in our direction, just scored a touchdown. Look good. I don't know who scored it.
But
82.
Is that the Wolf? Is the Wolf out there now?
No, the Wolf is. I did see the Wolf out there.
That's the third string.
Yeah.
What number is the Wolf?
Is he 12?
No. Stafford's 9. I think the Wolf is 14.
Yeah, I think you're right.
14
or
13.
This is 16.
Hungry like the Wolf.
No, Jared Goff was 16.
No, that guy was 16.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll figure out what number.
I got it right here. 16 is Cameron Dicker? No. Oh, no, it's Bryce Perkins.
Bryce Perkins.
That was Bryce Perkins.
There you go.
Two? This is really fun to listen to on the radio.
Yeah, Greg, looking at numbers.
Lance McCutcheon. Wide receiver Lance McCutcheon.
Lance McCutcheon.
I wonder if
same last name as one of my all-time favorite Rams, Lawrence McCutcheon. Went for 1,000 yards every year, seems like, in the 70s, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
That guy was a machine.
With Jim Bertelsen.
Right, and that was Chuck Knox, right? That was the official.
Brown Chuck.
Brown Chuck, exactly. That was a good team. That was a good team. They had great talent and, of course, got to the Super Bowl and almost won it.
Wolford's number 13. That's him now. That's Wolford out there now.
Oh, this is Wolford. Go ahead and do a little play-by-play. Here's Wolford at the goal.
By the way, if you come to Rams preseason games, you're going to see a lot of the Wolf because Sean McVay doesn't like to play guys in the preseason.
There's only one home
Daryl Henderson in motion.
Year.
Wolford over the middle. Drills it incomplete.
Incomplete.
See, J.B. Long's right there.
Yeah, J.B. Long's right there.
Yeah, we could have had you do it.
J.B., come over after this, okay? Yeah, just come over. J.B. is going to come over.
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
J.B. Get J.B. over. Again, we're live at Rams training camp. It is the day after the sad passing of Vin Scully. We've done a lot about Vin today, including an interview that I had no idea we ever did. But, everything I'm hearing, John, I hear for the first time, no matter what.
Yeah, it's pretty weird that you have no recollection of anything you've done in your career prior to last week. I think that's directly related to your edibles.
I think it may be the edibles. I'm not going to say guaranteed the edibles, but it may be the – there's Wolford on the scramble out at the 3-yard.
Oh!
There you go.
I really hope he can hear you right now, by the way.
What do you mean? It's 20 feet away from
you. I'm saying he can. John Wolford, backup quarterback for the Rams. He's lined up and ready to score. They're down at the 3-yard line. We might as well wait for the score. I can't see who's in the receiving corps right now.
Where do you see the score?
Do you know that giant scoreboard that's right over there?
I'm going to turn my head all the way to the right to see that.
By the way, Rams are depleted at wide receiver right now. They've got Allen Robinson.
Well,
Henderson's
in the backfield, and Skoronek is wide right.
Yeah.
After that, it's kind of a hodgepodge.
This right here is Allen Robinson.
The Wolf coming right at him. Oh, that's a foul.
Foul! Pass interference. No question.
All right, coming up next, we'll try and get J.B. Long over here. Are we doing Bobcat today, or should we blow it off?
I think we should blow it off.
Yeah, let's blow it off and take some more Vin Scully calls. You want to talk about Vin Scully, 877-710-ESPN.
Oh, good to get J.B.'s perspective, too.
877-710-ESPN. 3776 if you want to react to Vin Scully.
And again, we are live from Rams training camp, powered by Buffalo Wild Wings and the best happy hour in SoCal. Tons of awesome $3 to $6 food items and drink Wednesdays, drink weekdays from 3 to 6. Don't miss out. Happy hour at Buffalo Wild Wings. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Do you recognize this man? No, he's not a very tall, slim right-hander. He's not somebody who's trying out for the Dodgers. That's Kobe Bryant of the world champion Lakers, who threw out the first ball tonight. Gets a hug from Dave Hansen, and he got an ovation from this crowd. What a brilliant basketball player, young Kobe Bryant.
Heading off for the San Diego Padres.
There is Vin Scully the day after Vin Scully has passed away last night. We got the news during the Dodgers game. I actually got the news from Joe Davis during the Dodgers game. John, you popped on the air last night, came straight from the big company.
Yeah, it kind of worked out. We were all at a dinner, and so Travis Rogers and I went and did 2-3 hours last night. Greg did it with us. And
how did you find out that happened? I mean, because we were all talking. No, so she texted you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she texted me saying, she goes, I can't believe Vin Scully died. And I went, what? That's kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
All right, so what did somebody just give you, Mason?
Okay, so this is Annie and Jonathan. Thank you very much. They brought us donuts.
They're mochi nuts.
More than just a donut.
All right, I'm going to sample it. What's
Japanese
the difference?
Rice flours, what they use. You never had mochi before? You know, the ice cream that it has. It's
yeah, mochi. How is it?
Good. Tastes like a donut.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Which
you
one of those
me
do
one
you want?
Those.
Yeah, which one do you want?
I want the one with the icing.
All right.
I'm always big on the icing.
Cinnamon sugar.
And Jonathan and Annie also brought toys for Fredo and for Lola.
For Lola, yeah.
That's very nice. Very nice. Thank you very much to Annie and Jonathan.
These are pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll take one.
I can't eat during the show. You ever notice that? I never eat during the show.
You do not. You drink during the show.
I drink during the show. Never eat during the show.
Not anymore.
I work better on an empty stomach. John, you can eat during the show all the time.
I'm like Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11. I prefer to be eating in every scene.
There you go.
He's like Michael, eating during the
show. Yeah, it doesn't hurt anything.
Michael only eats in the second half.
Oh, really? Like the first half is clean?
Yeah, then he goes to the chips in the second half.
gets straight to the chips. All right, it is the day after the passing of Vin Scully. We want to get some of your calls in, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Also, I thought we'd play something, John and Jorge, follow me here. You found this story of Vin talking about Mike Matheny, that centers, just to show you a different side of Vin, centers around bird poop. Why don't you, Jorge, get that loaded and give that a
He's got it. Yeah. All right, so here it is. This is why you could never turn off a Dodger game, no matter what the score was, because you'd learn something you'd never heard before, like this.
Bottom of the second inning, no score, and the subject is Mike Matheny. Matheny, 44 years old, come the end of September, born in Ohio, lives in Missouri. But he was not even 18 years old, and he came to the University of Michigan with a major league dilemma. Earlier that summer, the Toronto Blue Jays had drafted a catching prospect in the 31st round, but Matheny decided to honor his college commitments, but he had a lot of doubts. Getting drafted was a dream come true. And if he waited till later on, the next time the offer would be less or not forthcoming at all. So he was a young man, not 18, and a lot of pressure. Should I turn pro or go to college? Major League Baseball rules allow players to sign with teams up until the player officially enters college full time. That's the key, full time. Anyway, Matheny showered, ready to go to class for the first day, walked out of the dormitory, stomach knotted, and a pigeon defecated directly on his head. Now, conventional wisdom would suggest the bird bombing was a sign that he should hit the road. But Matheny had to go back and clean up. The pitch to Uribe, a strike, 0-1 the count. He went back and showered and cleaned up and decided all of a sudden he was at peace. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to go to college. And there was one other thing that happened. The strike one pitch swung on and missed, 0-2. Matheny went to his first class, and when he reached class, he noticed a pretty field hockey player named Kristen. And he would marry her and live happily ever after. And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird poop. As Uribe hasn't much of a swing as he returns against a great pitcher and strikes out.
That's the story of Matheny and the bird poop.
And did you notice he called an entire strikeout? We heard every pitch.
Incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that timing is just unbelievable that he had. By the way, I think Rams practice is ending any minute now, and I think Allen Robinson is going to stop over here in a minute. Brand new Rams wide receiver.
And by the way, they are very excited about having Allen Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Sean McVay went all in to try and get Robinson here.
He actually said, he was quoted as saying, I blanking something.
I'm blanking sold my.
Well,
I sold my blanking.
You're
bees
no
off.
Vin Scully.
Bees off. Yeah. I sold my blanking bees
basketballs off.
Yeah.
Footballs off.
Here is David.
Yeah, that's well said.
In Sherman Oaks. Hey, David, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hi, guys. Such a pleasure and a privilege to talk to you both and listening for years. I was telling the guy who took the call that my father was a pretty well-known, influential rock and roll disc jockey in L.A. from the 50s into the 80s. They came over to L.A. around the same time from New York. His name was B. Mitchell Reed. And my dad would take me to all the games, and we'd get to sit in the press box a lot because of the fact that when my dad, when I was a kid, KBC was the sister station of KLOS, and he was on the air there.
Yeah. Right.
And my dad introduced me to him. And I just remember looking up at him in the press box and this huge, just eloquent grin. And such his presence was so nice. And he was smiling at me, said, David, how are you? And my dad introduced me to him as going to be the first Jewish third baseman for the Dodgers. And Vinny just loved that. And he took me aside and pat me on the shoulder and just said, look at the game and can't wait to see you out here one day. And it was a really special moment. And it's such a... It's been a really emotional day for me because it's such a connection to my father. And
I think a lot of people are going through stuff like that, David. Thank you for the phone call and for taking the time to call in. A lot of people are going through, you know, because it connects you to your dad, to your grandfather,
to your family, to
if you grew up in L.A., you have a Vin Scully story. Here's Chris in Canyon Country. Hey, Chris, you're on ESPN L.A. Hi.
Yeah, hey, guys. Hey, I appreciate being on the air with you. One of my favorite calls of all time, it was Vin's intro the day after when 9/11 just happened and the first day back. Very heartfelt, very genuine. But it even put baseball in its place. You know, in the time when we're all scared and reality hits, it just he put it very perfectly how we were all feeling.
I forgot about that. Thank you, Chris, for the phone call. You know, I remember we turned to people that we trusted after 9/11 because nobody knew what was okay and what wasn't. And so guys like Scully and David Letterman and all those guys. All right, speaking of breaks, let's take one. When we come back, we'll try and track down Allen Robinson from the Rams. We'll continue to take your calls about Vin Scully. If you're on hold, stay there. If you want to get on hold, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We're live on the campus of UC Irvine at Rams Camp. Practice is winding down, still doing a few special teams drills, but most guys are wrapping it up, and we'll be here till 4 o'clock. We're going to get with Allen Robinson and maybe Sean McVay coming up.
That's all coming up for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Friends, you can't make it to the game, but you still want that one-of-a-kind Dodger Stadium experience? Well, all you need is Farmer John Dodger Dogs, available now at your local grocery store. One bite of that legendary hot dog, your couch becomes your own personal baseline seat. You'll practically be able to smell the grass. So pick up some Farmer John Dodger Dogs at your local grocery store today to get that Dodger Stadium experience. And remember, for big league hunger, all you need is Farmer John.
A very memorable commercial endorsement, Farmer John. We heard Vin Scully talk about Farmer John a lot over the years. Vin passed away last night at the age of 94. He, of course, 67 years as the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, just an unparalleled record, and had such a different way of doing. So I lived in New York, John, so I heard John Sterling do games. I know John Sterling is, to Yankee fans, what Vin Scully is to us. Such a different style. John Sterling literally does make it about himself every
right.
single call.
The Yankees win.
Exactly. He does that. Vin Scully never do that. Let the game speak for itself. Laid out, as you say, allowed the sound to just play that sound through a broadcast, and never, ever was always humble in what he did, was always humble.
Yeah, here's Steve in Glendale on the phone. Hey, Steve, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
How you doing? Great to talk to you guys finally.
Thank you, man.
I noticed something about Vinny early – not early, but just mainly when he would call a game, he really, when a guy would blow him down with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, it would be, got him. But, boy, he really got excited when Ramon Martinez struck out Ryan Klesko with the bases loaded with a changeup. Looking, Vinny would go nuts. And the million-dollar pitch got in, you know. And just, you could just tell he was just into it. The story that I remember the most is July 20th, 19, whenever July 20th would come around, he would tell the story of Nate Colbert. Did you guys ever hear that story?
No, I don't know the story of Nate Colbert.
Okay, so it was a Padre doubleheader. And he had gone 4 hits in the first game.
Yep.
3 in the second, and he's coming up to bat again. And as he's getting close to the plate, the crowd is getting louder and louder. Finally, when he gets to the plate, the crowd stands up, and it's as loud as he's ever heard. And he looks at the umpire and the catcher and steps out of the box and says, "I this has never happened to me. I really need a little bit of time." And the catcher and the umpire looked at each other and said, we hate to rain on your parade, but look up at the scoreboard." And the scoreboard said, "We have just landed a man on the moon."
Yep. Colbert thought it was for him.
Yeah,
that's a great story, Steve. Yeah. Thank you for
Thank
the phone call.
Thank you very much, man.
And Vin had all sorts of stories like that. That's one thing that's kind of weird about today. Everybody's got a different story.
Yes, yes. You know, everybody has a different connection, a different point of connection, whether it's your dad or your family or your granddad or your kids or whatever that is. Vin Scully really bound generations, I guess, would be the right way to phrase it. And joining us right now as we're live at Rams training camp is brand-new Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Allen Robinson. Allen, thanks for coming over. How are you, man? Nice to meet you.
Oh, we're very happy that you're here. Why the Rams? Obviously, you had great success in Chicago. I think you were in Jacksonville before that, right? And the Rams seems like a perfect fit to us. Did it seem that way from the beginning for you? Did you have to be talked into it? Why the Rams?
Definitely. It's an obvious good fit for many reasons. Like I said before, Coach McVay, as a coach has had success, obviously, but just, for the offense that he's had over the years. And, for me, playing against the Rams and kind of seeing some of the teams that they've played against offensively, along with having Stafford and having Cooper, for me, it was a no-brainer. It's a situation where these guys come out here and compete each and every day, and you have great players, great teammates, and great coaches.
So how you liking Los Angeles?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. You know, again, it's sunshine every day. You know,
and
for
yep.
me, and for me,
little
I
different than your
that.
Penn State wardrobe, huh?
Yeah.
And didn't you grow up in? Did you grow up in Detroit?
Yep.
In Detroit. Oh yeah. So you saw no
not
real
much.
Sun, not much sun. Exactly.
Not much.
Exactly. What part of town are you living in?
So right now I'm in like the valley, like the Calabasas area.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which is good. You can be close to the practice facility. Allen, yeah, we're talking to Allen Robinson, the new Rams wide receiver. I don't know how teams are going to defend you and Cooper Kupp on opposite sides of the field. Is it ridiculous for me to suggest you could both have 1,000-yard seasons in this offense?
Again, I'm not one to predict different things, but, you know, I don't think that's ridiculous at all. You know, again, man, each and every day, you know, it's about us coming out here, putting in the work, you know, and trying to be the best offense that we can be, you know. And I think that, you know, throughout the first 9-10 practices, you know, I think that's something that we've done, you know, again, trying to figure out, at least for me, you know, trying to figure out how I fit into this offense, you know, and the different, you know, nuances of the offense, the spacing on the field and things like that, you know. So, but I think that everything is progressing well.
Tell us something about Coach Sean McVay that we might not know.
I definitely could. I'll say this, you know, he's a very competitive guy, you know, and I think that from the different interviews and press conferences and things like that that you may hear from the outside looking in, you know, before you get in the locker room, you know, with him, you hear that and see that, you know. But not only competitive, you know, but again, for just kind of the conversation that you could have from player to coach, you know, is always a very, you know, open forum, just about, you know, whether that's how to get better, different things and concepts, different things that he sees. You know, I think as a player, you definitely appreciate that a lot because it helps you get better.
Is he the best offensive mind you work with?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely got some ideas that nobody else has ever had. We're talking to Allen Robinson, new wide receiver for the Rams. Okay, Matthew Stafford coming off of a Super Bowl. I read somewhere that you and him have been talking off the field, having conversations, trying to connect. What's that process like, you trying to connect with? Obviously, he's a proven veteran. You're a proven veteran. How do you kind of merge those two things together and connect with a guy like Stafford?
You know, it's pretty easy. You know, again, I mean, even just from the fact that, you know, me growing up in Detroit, you know, and Stafford playing all those years in Detroit.
Right.
You know, I grew up.
So you knew about him long before now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I grew up, you know, seeing him play a lot and different things like that, you know. But with veterans and with pros, man, it's pretty easy to connect. You know, again, I mean, he's so, you know, great at what he do that for me, just getting out on the field with him, it's always just, you know, kind of staying in his, you know, back pocket and in his hip, just asking what is he seeing, you know, timing wise, what is he seeing here, you know, and different things like that, you know. And it's pretty easy to, you know, be able to create chemistry and a connection that way.
All right, last thing for you. Cooper Kupp had a monster year last year. You've now been on the field with him and kind of see him doing what he does. From your perspective, what makes him so good? Why is he able to get as open as he gets and impact the game the way he does?
Man, Cooper's a very, very special player. You know, I think just, you know, all around everything he brings to the game. You know, it's not just one thing that you can pinpoint. You know, he's great in a run game, you know, blocking-wise. He's great at the top of his routes. You know, he knows angles extremely well. You know, he knows what the defense is doing very well. So just an all-around player, man. He has everything, you know. And I think that, you know, for me, you know, again, being able to line up even with him and pick his brains on certain things, you know, how is he seeing certain route concepts? What might he do here or here? You know, has even made me better. You know, so again, I mean, he's a person who he does everything right and does everything well.
Okay, last thing for you. I know I've got the headphones on and I'm at ESPN and all that stuff, but I'm a Rams fan first and foremost. Love the Rams, season ticket holder, all that stuff. Can you feel sort of the any weight of pressure given the fact that this team is coming off a Super Bowl?
I honestly don't really focus on too much of the media aspect, you know, so unless, you know, NFL Network is something on somewhere, you know, that's out of sight, out of mind. You know, at the end of the day, for me, it's about coming in here and trying to make this offense, you know, as lethal as possible, you know, and again, for me, you know, fine-tuning my craft in it and being able to bring and enhance my part in it, you know, and I think everybody is doing the same thing, you know. So again, I mean, from the outside looking in, you know, that's not even a focus or a concern. You know, it's about getting out here and getting better each and every day up until week one.
By the way, we had a front row seat to that last second to last play at practice there. Yeah, that was pass interference from the time you moved forward, man. Those guys basically tackled you in the end zone. That ain't right. I guess it's all part of getting used to it, right?
Yeah, man, it's just out here competing. You know, again, and that's what you want in training camp. You know, you want iron and sharpening iron. You know, you want everybody competing to try to get better. You know, so once you get to to week one, you know, we've made each other better on offense and on defense.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
the thing you want. You know, everybody's out here competing.
Look, hey, we're really excited, happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Allen Robinson.
Thanks for stopping by, too.
Wide receiver, Los Angeles Rams. Excited to see number one out there this year.
Yeah, that's the number he wore in high school.
Yeah.
You know, when he got here, he wore 12, and I think –
I think Van Jefferson wears 12.
Wears 12 here. And then the other, his other number, Atwell was wearing. So he's going to wear number one, which he wore in high school, which I think is great.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Last guy to wear number one for the Rams. Caught some touchdowns last year.
DeSean Jackson.
There you go.
Oh, she caught one touchdown.
Ha-ha, gotcha.
I think he just caught one. I remember McVay sprinting down the sidelines
right.
for that one as they threw deep down the right sideline to DeSean Jackson. He later wound up where? Where do you want? Is he still in the league?
He was with the Raiders.
He was with the Raiders at the very end.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I think I did see that he signed someplace. I don't think he's retired yet.
You know, I had a dream last night.
He's a free agent currently.
I had a dream last night. Do you want to know what the dream was?
Sure.
It was a Rams-Raiders Super Bowl.
Okay, so
ooh.
The last time a team won back-to-back Super Bowls, do you know?
Maybe the Cowboys?
No.
Niners?
No.
Packers?
No.
I don't know.
Patriots. 03-04.
Right. How did I miss the Patriots?
20 years ago, though. That's how hard it is to do.
Yeah.
So the Rams, and remember when you were at the Super Bowl when the Rams lost to the Patriots.
I was in Atlanta, yeah.
There was a next season hangover. They went did go 8-8 the next year?
I think it was 9-7 the next year.
And didn't miss
the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the challenge this year is to make sure that, you know, everybody's going to be gunning for them. When you win the Super Bowl, you get a number one schedule. In other words, you're playing a tougher schedule than everybody
else. And this schedule
is
a beast. It is a beast if you look at the schedule. I mean, do you realize, I'm pretty sure this is right. The Rams are a point and a half underdogs to Buffalo. Is that?
Yeah. Could be. Last time I saw it was Pick'em. But you remember, you set lines, gambling, Vegas, those people, set lines to try and get you to open your wallet.
Yes. To so get people on both sides.
Right. So it doesn't. So what that means was too many people were betting on Buffalo.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they moved it Buffalo's way. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think there's Coach Sean McVay pulling up right now. He's expected to join us here in just a couple of minutes. But we are gearing up for here he comes.
Yep. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll knock it out this way.
Yeah.
On the outside. Hey, Sean, good to see you, man. How's
good
everything?
To see you, Sean. How you doing, man? Yeah. Rams head coach Sean McVay joining us. Just getting set up, getting his headphones on. What are you doing,
you guys,
man?
Got some donuts here?
Yeah, you
yeah,
want
we
a
got
donut?
One left.
No, I'm
you
good.
The last one. You know, yeah, you don't look like you're pounding a lot of donuts. You know, we were just talking about the fact that one of the challenges for you as a staff is it's hard to repeat in the NFL, really hard. Nobody's done it in 20 years. And you made the Super Bowl against the Patriots a few years ago and then had to come back and try and make the playoffs the next year. And you saw how hard that was.
Sure.
Do you think that'll help you, that you've been through this before, going to the Super Bowl and rebounding from it? Is that something you can use this year?
I think so. You know, and I don't even necessarily look at it as repeating as much as let's be a consistently good football team year in and year out. Every single year is such a new year. There's so many different changes, whether it's personnel, coaches, schemes that kind of go around the league. And so the challenge is really how do you consistently be a relevant team that gives yourself an opportunity to play after these 17 games? But it really is that one day at a time mindset and mentality. And I think it starts with our leadership. We've got great veteran leadership, great leaders on this team. They don't let complacency set in, and when you have that lets you feel a little bit better as a coach at night, knowing that, hey, you know, tomorrow's a new day. We'll look at this film from today, we'll get better from it, and then we'll stack another block tomorrow.
There was a quote that came in this last week about how all in you were for Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
Describe what he brings, what dimension he brings to the offense.
Yeah, you know, he's a dynamic playmaker. I think when you look at it, you know, obviously we didn't make any secret about trying to re-sign Von. He ends up going to Buffalo. And so, all right, well, what can you really do to pivot to be able to try to create as much of a competitive team as possible? And so you say, all right, Allen Robinson is still out there. You got a chance to acquire Bobby Wagner. And really with a lot of that money that maybe we would have allocated towards Von, you're able to pivot, get two great players, you know, at positions that are really important to our football team. But this guy's a versatile playmaker. He can really play all over the formation. He's obviously got a great catch radius, but I also think for a bigger player, he's wired to be able to separate. He's got great body lean and body control, and so I think you guys have seen that on display the last couple days.
Yeah, we were just talking to him, and I want to ask you something I asked him. Cooper Kupp's not the fastest guy in the field. He's not the biggest guy in the field. How does he impact the games like he does? I mean, the Triple Crown's almost impossible. He won it last year. I know you counted on him as one of your main weapons.
Sure.
What's the reason for his effectiveness?
Well,
I think
he's, you know, everybody talks about what a conscientious player. He is super talented now, too. And, you know, I think he runs well enough to run by a lot of people. He can really work edges. I think his body control, his short space quickness is as good as anybody. He's got great run after the catch. His understanding from a big picture of the game and being able to play all over the formation is as good as anybody I've ever been around. And, you know, he can definitely do everything. He can play outside. He can play inside. And I think you
saw...
Good
blocker, too, right?
He's an amazing blocker. You know, what he does snap in and snap out is really incredible. He's so valuable to us. He's so valuable to me and our coaching staff. And so he really is. He's so special, what he did last year. And I do believe, you know, stats aren't exclusively how you measure, you know, playing really well. I believe he's going to play better this year with the way that he started in camp. You know, now, that might not look like, you know, the same sort of numbers, but you're influencing, impacting, and affecting the game in a way that is, you know, pretty special, and certainly he's done that for our team over the last handful of years.
Talk a little bit about injuries. Van Jefferson has an injury. He's going to be gone for a couple of weeks. Depth at wide receiver, I'm assuming Skoranek and guys like that step up.
Yep.
What's the wide receiver situation?
I think when you really look at it, you know, you got Allen and Cooper. Van is a special player, and we're going to get him back at some point, and we're really excited about that. But, you know, Ben has played a lot of football. Brandon Powell's done a really good job. You saw some positive things from Tutu Atwell today. And so I think you're really looking at, all right, all of those guys are going to get an opportunity. We've got tight ends. I think we all saw when Tyler Higbee goes down, what a great job by Kendall Blanton, by Bryson Hopkins, being able to step up in the playoffs. And so being able to use all five eligibles, not exclusively to just having three receivers on the field, or maybe if it is, what are the ways that you can use your running backs, tight ends, and be able to make the most out of your roster, and that's what we're looking to do.
So Tutu Atwell was a big draft pick this last, not this year, but the
sure.
previous year. How do you anticipate using him? Is he a punt return guy? How are you going to use him?
I think he's a receiver. And, you know, Brandon Powell did an excellent job for us last year.
Yeah.
Tutu got a chance to be able to return kicks and punts, but, you know, we got him to be a receiver. He's obviously got great vertical speed, but he does have good aggressive hands. He can catch the ball naturally away from his body. For a smaller player, he does have a bigger catch radius than you think. And Eric Yarber and Greg Olsen are doing an outstanding job with that receiver room. And I think he's taken positive strides, especially in the last couple practices, and we're looking to see that continue as we move through camp.
As we look at your running backs, is it probably kind of a tag team between Daryl Henderson, Cam Akers, more than those two? How do you look at running backs?
Yeah,
right
I look at it like we've got two starting running backs. You know, yep. I think both of those guys have excellent skill sets. You know, they are guys that are capable of playing on all three downs, but I think there's certain things that they do well for
our offense.
Are they both
healthy, Sean?
They
both
healthy.
Got hurt last year, I know.
They
that.
Are. They're both feeling good right now. I thought Cam's had a couple good days. Daryl has really been outstanding throughout the course of camp. Been impressed with Jake Funk as well. You know, he's a mature guy going into his second year, and I'm really looking forward to getting Kyron Williams back out on the field. You talk about a guy that is staying locked in mentally, and whenever he's physically ready to go, I'm excited about seeing his skill set come to life for why we loved him so much coming out of Notre Dame.
All right, last thing for you. How's married life?
Outstanding.
Yeah.
You know?
Has
it
changed? Has everything changed?
Just getting bossed around all the time, you know? No, I'm kidding.
We both
she's
know
amazing.
The feeling.
Yes, it's, you know what? Happy wife, happy life is a real thing.
There
but,
you go.
You know, I couldn't be more grateful. She's been amazing. What a blessing. And so marriage is going good.
Good.
Well, we're
good.
I know there was a lot of speculation about what you were thinking about coming over and doing what we do. You made the right decision to stay where you are. This will always
What would
be.
You do with $100 million? Seriously, what would you do?
You know
that's
what?
Too much money, isn't it? How can you even spend that?
I'd tell you why you're criticizing me every
day.
I'm just
kidding. Hey, Sean, thank you for doing
thanks,
this,
Sean.
Man. We always
hey,
love coming to see you.
Always enjoy coming on.
Awesome.
All right. Appreciate it,
folks. All right, thanks, buddy.
Coach Sean McVay there.
Take that with you. On the outside.
Oh, well, want to take a picture?
Take a pic-
yeah, get a picture.
Yeah.
All right, Will Rapp, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.